Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott, goal!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Glovers Cast. We're going to start things a little bit back to front here. We'll be speaking shortly with Ben, who had the pleasure of watching a 2-0 win over Woking at Hewish Park on Tuesday night. So we'll be talking all about that, and we'll be talking about the upcoming fixture at Solihull Moors this weekend. But to start off, we thought we'd have a chat with Joel Butler, who some of you might remember from the Solihull Moors bandwagon fanzine, joined us before the season even began to tell us a little bit about what we might see from our then new signing, Adi Youssef. But we're not going to talk doing about Adi Youssef tonight. We're going to talk to him instead about Solihull Moors and what's been going on in the first few months of the season. So Joel, to start with, welcome back to the Glovers Cast.
Thanks. Yeah, it's nice to be back talking to you again.
Absolutely right. I must have done a good job first time we invited you back. Yeah, so obviously it's a few months on and a few games into the season now. I think it's probably fair to say that your season has started better than ours. I think when we spoke at the beginning of the year, beginning of the campaign, is probably what we expected. I mean, how would you summarise the start of the season for Solihull Moors this year?
It was a bit of a slow start. We got a draw with Wrexham on the opening day, which is never bad, but we probably should have won that game. Better team, but conceded silly goals. Same again, end up drawing with Barney at home, should have won, conceded a silly goal late on. Conceded four silly goals, lose to Weymouth. So it was a bit, you know, after the first three games, it wasn't looking great. But then after that, we slowly started to curb the openness, but for, you know, the same mistakes cropping up again when we lost 5-1 away at Dagenham. But other than that, it's kind of been ranging and dragged in the opposite direction, where we're now winning by the odd goal, which, you know, I mean, I'd much rather be up in the playoffs winning by the odd goal, doing it the sort of West Brom way, than having not knowing what the result's going to be every week because you have no idea whether you're going to outscore the opposition.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Like you say, that Weymouth game was a bit of a ding dong, wasn't it? They were 4-1 up at one point.
Yeah. And then... It was really poor. Yeah. Unfortunately, for one of our new signings, Matt Preston, he came into the team straight away because of defensive injuries. You look up to scratch, he looked like he would be making two or three fairly serious mistakes every game, which I suppose what happens when you sign players from Barnet, but he didn't have a great start, and neither did the team with him in it, but it's definitely picked up since then, and slowly people are warming to the new manager as a result, which is always nice.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Neil Ardley obviously came in the summer. And like I say, was it two draws and a defeat in the first three, but then three wins on the bounce. And and your three wins on the bounce going into to the game with Yeovil, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. Well, four if you include the cup game.
Of course, yeah.
Hereford as well.
Right.
Although I think that was a heavily changed team, so I don't think it really counts in the same way. But it seems to be going fairly well for now. Two good results in the win over Halifax and the win over Altrincham, given where they are on the table. We're going into Saturday fairly confident.
Yeah. And like you say, low scoring wins, but wins nevertheless. I mean, does that suggest a problem finding the net, or is it just once you get your noses in front, you're quite happy to stick with that?
I think we do create a lot of chances that aren't really clear cut chances. I think it's something that's been observed about Ardley's style of football at other places he's been, where it's, I think this is something that really frustrated Notts County fans before he perhaps prematurely stacked there with them in the playoffs. But it was all sort of wing play, getting balls into the box, but then not necessarily having anybody regularly getting on the end of them. But I think he does like to play a quite cautious. I mean, despite the early goal fest and some of the results, I think he clearly just likes to play quite cautious style of play with three centre backs and then two kind of become pressing forwards, really, I guess, where they're just there to close down and try and force a mistake out of the opposite defence and make those runs I think we were talking about this with Dallas, where he's one of those sort of hard working players who will keep on making the run. But I think Newton been playing a similar role as well. And it means that the more creative players, I mean, admittedly, Jamie Osborne, he's been out injured for a long time, he's done to bring him back, but we're kind of playing better without him in the team because he's not putting in the shift in the same way. He'll have all the sort of fancy flicks and, the odd killer ball, but he's not constantly contributing to the press in the same way.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you mentioned Dallas there, Andy Dallas. I remember he was a player that obviously had some quite goal-scoring exploits down at Weymouth last season. And a number of Yeovil fans, when we were crying out for a striker early in the season, were hoping he'd come to us. So obviously, he didn't. He, I think he got, was it three in his first five or six games for you, but then hasn't scored then. I mean, how would you summarise Andy Dallas's start to the season?
It's been solid. I think, like I said, because of the way he's been played, I don't think we're going to have one out-and-out prolific goal scorer this season. And if we do, it's going to be one of the sort of midfield runners like Joe Spira has been so far. But Dallas, he's been sort of tireless in being asked to make that high press, make runs into the channels. And that's where the goal that made the difference against Halifax came from on Saturday, where he just made another one of those sort of runs to nothing, sort of chasing a lost cause, but the ball got to him that time and he was able to put it back across for a tap in someone else. So I think I'm not sure what his assist stats are for the season, but if his assists aren't high, his goal involved must be high, even if he's not scoring every week. He's not had a bad start at all.
Yeah, and so the start, Joe, is it Sabra?
Sabara, yeah.
Sabara, beg your pardon. Yeah, so he's top scorer, am I right? Is he?
He's a sort of tricky attacking midfield player. He's not very big, but he's quick and he's skillful. He actually came down from Burton. He's got Championship and League One experience, whatever he could work out there for him. But he's fine. Last season, he kind of came in and out and he showed flashes of what he could do. But so far this season, he really looked like the player who's got that higher level experience.
Okay, so he'll be one to watch at the weekend then?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I really like him as a player, actually. We had him on loan when he was a teenager, while he was sort of on the fringes of Burton while they were in the Championship. And this was in the season we came second at Tim Flowers. But because of the squad being settled and I suppose him being a slightly different sort of player to anything else we got, he struggled to get into that side. But every time he did make a cameo appearance, he looked good. He seemed kind of underused. So I think people were quite excited when we then signed him permanently a couple of years down the line.
Okay. And I mean, we had this strange anomaly last season, didn't we? Obviously, none of us were there to see it. But you walloped us, I think 5-1 it was at your place. And then 3 days later, we beat you 3-0 at our place. I mean, bit of an anomaly, that one. And what can we expect? Can the Oval fans who turn up at Adamson Park expect to see this weekend from Solihull Moors?
I don't think we'll win 5-1, but I think we'll lose 3-0 either. Yeah, it'll probably be another sort of tight, catchy one. I mean, personally, I expect, given our run and given yours, we would probably expect it. But I don't think it'll be any runaway scoreline. It'll be a tight one from start to finish. And I think despite the fact that we have started winning by the odd 1-0 or 2-1 or whatever, we still, and we haven't conceded actually in quite a few games before last night. But there's still this sort of hint of openness at the back sometimes, playing with the wing backs and getting caught on the break, and then, you know, relying on Ryan Boot's ability as a goalkeeper to then protect those clean sheets sometimes, giving away some of those chances that you think. I mean, I don't know how useless we're playing for Yeovil, but, you know, when you have players who you have that sort of one-off finishing ability, give them that one-on-one chance, then there's always the chance that they then score a goal, which I think, you know, I saw a little bit of that last night in the first half for anyone who watched it against Altrincham, where it just took them beating Carl Storey in the midfield. You know, unfortunately, twilight of his career, so he's done for pace a little bit. Then one killer ball through, and you're done a little bit if you can't regroup defensively fast enough.
Yeah, well, you'll be pleased to hear that up until last night, where we scored twice, we've been really struggling for goals. We had a 3-0 win away at Stockport, was about nine games again now and ago now, and then it's been draws and defeats up until Tuesday night when we beat Woking 2-0 at home. And Yusuf, he's been in and out of the side. He did score the third goal up at Stockport. He's not really started. He did start on Tuesday against Woking. We've had another player, Joe Quigley, who's been around the divisions a bit. He's probably played at Solihull at some point. Seems to play for everyone else, but he's our top scorer at the moment with 6, I think, but he's been struggling for form. It's probably fair to say in the last few. So yeah, Yusuf started on Tuesday and looked all right by the sounds of it. Bit of a kind of a wrecking ball of a centre forward, I think. These days he got sent off for barreling his way into a Boreham Wood centre half a few weeks ago, but yeah, he seems to offer something a bit different. So yeah, maybe getting back on familiar territory at Solihull might inspire him to get some more goals.
It's often the way with a player, it comes against their old club, isn't it? But I mean, yeah. Fortunately for us, like last time, he was his last spell at Damson Park wasn't so hot. So maybe we'll just carry on from that.
Yeah, let's hope that's not the case. I can't think off the top of my head of any ex-Yeovil players that you've got in your in your side. Because, yeah, we always have the same thing. You know, always dread the former player coming back to haunt you. So yeah, maybe it's our turn. But every club I speak to, and I say that, everyone always says, oh, yeah, old players coming back and scoring against you. It happens to everyone, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I think also if you recognise the player, you just notice it, don't you?
Like, yes, that's true.
I would have noticed if Quigley had scored as well. I'd say he's not one of our former players, but he's been around quite a bit. Somebody you recognise. Whereas if it's, you know, it could be the other team's top scorer, but if you've never heard of them, you're not going to pay much attention, are you?
No, probably not. Fantastic. All right, John, well, that's great. Well, I really appreciate you joining us again. And now we're going to go back and we're going to have a chat with Ben about Woking, Solihull and everything but. So, Joel, we'll see you on Saturday.
Right, yeah. Well, good luck.
All right, Andy, thanks a lot. Bye. Okay, so we're back. It's Dave and now it's Ben as well. And I've just remembered that I said there, I didn't think that there was any other playing connections between Solihull Moors and Yeovil Town, but there is one. Ben, who is it?
It's Mr. Adam Rooney.
Adam Rooney, exactly. I sat on Tuesday night whilst you were on the Thatcher's stand and watched him play for Solihull Moors. So I should have known that, really.
Did he play? Did he come off
the bench? He played. No, he played against Oldham. I think he started. He was definitely there.
There you go. There you go. No, I didn't know. There you go. Well, yeah, they've had a few. We did a bit of Wikipedia-ing before we started chatting, and apparently Jake Edwards and Lee Morris have both also represented at both clubs. So there you go.
Yeah. And Josh Neufeld was another one, wasn't he? Josh Neufeld.
There you go. Yes.
A little there. Oh, the links just go on and on and on.
They do indeed. There's probably more. Let us know, good people. Let us know. How are you, Dave? I haven't even said hello yet.
I'm doing all right. You made it back to the north of England safely then, by the looks of it.
Yes, we did. It's been a whirlwind few days in Somerset. It always is. Never long enough. Absolute chaos for the vast majority of the time, but always worth it as well. So, popped down a couple of birthdays on the horizon and one just gone. Who knows what Christmas is going to look like? So we thought, we've got a couple of days. Let's run and just belt it down the M1, M42, M5, and then belt it back up again within a few days later. So, yeah, we're back up, ready to attack a busy weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. But you got the chance to see a match whilst you were down there and bumped into a few old faces, by the sounds of it. Or one old face. Sorry, one Foxy, old face. Not that old. Yeah, but
not that old.
Younger than me.
Really nice. Really nice to go in and be, as I said, on my five conclusions, which you can now read on thegloverscast.co.uk. It was really nice just to be a fan again.
Wasn't it?
That was my proper presenter voice. It's really nice to be a fan again. I haven't done it for years for obvious reasons. Very, very lucky to be asked occasionally to do a few bits for the BBC, and I'll be doing it again this Saturday. Really, really appreciate those moments. But it was nice. It was really nice just to chat with Dad on the terrace and just have an hour and a half to ourselves without kids running around, making noise and getting in everyone's way. It was really nice. It was really nice. There weren't many there. Unfortunately, I would like to have shared it with a few more people, but fine.
You're suggesting that the couple of thousand that was announced in attendance wasn't correct?
There were not 2,000 people in that stadium.
No?
No chance.
What if you crossed your eyes? Were there?
If you crossed your eyes, and strategically placed mirrors, then maybe, yes, you might have got to 2,000, but there wasn't 2,000. That was counting season ticket holders, whether they're there or not, but it didn't look full. At times, it looked really, really empty until about 10 minutes before kickoff, and there was a surge into the Thatcher's stand. But yeah, no sort of pre-match. The early warm-ups and stuff were very, very sparse. But nevertheless, those that did go and those that did part with their hard-earned or their earned got to see a win, and a pretty good one, actually, if truth be told. A fairly not easy win. There's no such thing as an easy win, but comfortable win. A win where we never really looked like we were in much in the way of bother, which was nice.
A clean sheet. Tom Knowles back on the score sheet. To an early goal in each half. That seemed to be the story of the evening. What did you make of it? Well, that was your first one since Stockport, wasn't it?
Since Stockport, yeah. I thought it just ticked a lot of boxes. I thought we were very clear about how we were going to go about things with our front three. I thought we were very fairly obvious in our attacking options. And quite frankly, it boiled down to the fact that Knowles and Wakefield were better than their options to stop Knowles and Wakefield going forward. Chances came quite early. I like the urgency of the midfield. Jordan Barnett. Anyone who's seen the highlights knows that Jordan Barnett grabs the ball out of Skivo's hand, I think it is, and just launches it in. Even a couple of minutes before that, though, that was in the sixth, seventh minute. By that time, we'd already had a goal disallowed. Adi Youssef was offside for the first minute as well. So we'd kind of got out of the traps early, shown some real urgency. And then what I was pleased with was that we didn't kind of sit on it. We got to 1-0 at half time, and everyone around, every sort of mini conversation was, please just don't sit on this. Please don't come out and defend and shut up shop. We aren't good enough for that. And we didn't. We came out and we went exactly the same, and it was just copy and paste. Mm-hmm. And Tom Knowles will be really grateful to get that goal. And I know a lot's been made and a lot's been talked about how he might end up going on a bit of a run now. Well, let's hope that that does kickstart things, because it was just a really, really nice moment, considering we're at the end, or getting towards the end of a long stint of Saturday, Tuesdays. We kept going for as long as we could. They're a fit bunch. That much I do know. They are a fit bunch. They are. They work and work and work. And it was only really 80 minutes or so where we shut up shop and said, we're done. We can't really keep going. The forward passes became a little bit more rushed and hurried and just hoiked away, basically, with Wakefield and Knowles aimlessly chasing at times. But it was nice. It ticked a lot of boxes. I like that front three, you know. I really do. Even if it is a slight detriment to the midfield that I was talking about, where it doesn't quite look right, that midfield. Somehow it doesn't quite feel like it's all set yet. But as a three, well, two of the three at least, the third one, the middle one, feels a little bit interchangeable. But those two, they are so, so exciting. And a lot of defences better than Woking's, will not fancy it at all.
Yeah, well, you and you were talking there about, or I was talking with Joel about Adi Youssef, and you and I spoke with him when he signed, didn't we, about him. What did you make of Adi Youssef on Tuesday against Woking?
I have no idea. I have no idea what I made of him. I was pleased that he started, because I think we all agreed that Joe Quigley just needed taking out the firing line. It was something that the manager spoke about today, was that he saw physical fatigue alongside the mental fatigue of having to lead the line throughout the early part of the season. And so I was pleased to see Adi Youssef get another start. First start since his red card game, I think I'm right in saying.
That's right, yeah.
And I think he did everything back to goal fine. There wasn't so much hoofball that we've been told about. It was more thoughtful passing forward through Youssef and through the defence to try and get to Knowles and Wakefield. I feel like that back to goal stuff was okay. I feel like he gave away a few too many free kicks, but I also feel like he got a few free kicks as well. Second half, he was anonymous. I didn't really see him at all. I'm not surprised to see Quigley come on, because I felt like there needed to be something else up front, especially as the game was tiring and our players were tiring and Woking were having a little bit of a kitchen sink at us. But for me, okay, I would expect him to start on Saturday and keep Quigley on the bench as a bit more of an impact should we need him later on. But I think I described it as a lack of match defining razzmatazz. I don't think he did much wrong. I'm just not sure what he did right either.
He had the razz without the matazz.
Yeah. There was some razz, very little matazz. It was a strange one. It was a strange one. And maybe part of me wants to give him a bit of benefit of the doubt and say, give him four or five games as a bit of a run now and sort of hang your hat on him and say, right, you need to lead this line now. Quigley's done it for us for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games. You need to put your shift in now and let him just recover and recoup and get through to the point where Ruben Reid comes back or whoever it is comes in. So for me, I think I'm still just siding on give him another go come Saturday and see if you can get a bit of a run out of him.
And there's a clean sheet there as well. I know when I was looking at Woking, I was a little bit worried about them going forward. Tavon Campbell, I know he hadn't scored for a couple but he was in decent form, and we all know former player curse, as we were saying with Joel just now. But they've got that Effiong as well, is it? The big brute up front. So I was a little bit worried about them, but from listening to it on the commentary with Wheelie and Sheridan, it didn't sound like we were too troubled by them.
Far from it. I jokingly said to Foxy, I said, how many is Tavon getting today? And he never got in the game, is the honest answer. He never got in the game. Their main threat actually was from Kretschmeyer.
Oh, yeah, the midfielder. Yeah, he's a good player, though, isn't he? Yeah.
Good player. But then they brought him off.
Right.
About 15, 20 minutes from the end. And I was a little bit surprised by that, because it felt like everything that they were doing that was in any way, shape or form positive was going through him. But I guess by the sort of 70, 75th minute mark, they'd made their mind up that they were just going to start chucking balls forward and trying to go route one. And like I say, kitchen sink it a little bit. Mm. So they decided against the creative midfielder. Again, bit of credit to the guys who keep him quiet, because yeah, he didn't manage to influence the game enough that it was definitive. But he was the main player. They didn't bring on Jamal Loza. And I did wonder if Jamal Loza, with a little bit of pace, might have been an option for them. I was surprised not to see him come on. Obviously, we know a little bit about him. I thought he might have come on to try and just add a bit of pace against a slightly tiring defence who had been asked a lot of questions. If you were going to play longer stuff, little flick-ons off the front men, play things like that. I had half an eye on Rowan Ince as well. And again, didn't really do enough in the middle to stop our creative players. The balls that were being played through to Knowles and Wakefield weren't being stopped. We had too many opportunities to play those balls. So yeah, all three ex-Yeovil players on the sheet didn't do much, if truth be told. A side note, when the teams were being read out before, they did give a warm welcome back quote to Tavon Campbell and to Jamal Loza, but Rowan Ince didn't get one. He just got a name read out.
Okay. He's not warmly welcomed.
He's not warmly welcomed.
Frosty reception for Rowan, yes, Rowan Ince, but exactly. No one's quite sure why.
Yeah. Also, quick word for Craig White, the goalie coach, who was the only person in the entire building booing the away team when they were being read out. No one else could be bothered. Every time as the away team were being read out, he was sat there in the goal, chatting to Max Evans or to Grant Smith, going boo.
Brilliant.
Boo.
Oh, well done, Craig. I think that matches Jordan Barnett shushing the 100 and whatever it was Woking fans when we scored that goal. But pure shithousery. I thought that was quite something.
It takes something to shush 124 fans in the seventh minute.
It does. They
barely had time to take their seats, let alone make any noise.
Jordan, give him a break. Come on. But well done, Craig White. We like all of that, don't we?
We do. Yes, indeed. So he made me chuckle as I was having my pre-match coffee. Yes.
Yeah.
But that was good. It was all round really, really good. I had a little bit of a, I was trying to think of something to moan about, if truth be told. And I was going to say that we didn't kill him off. We didn't go and score a third, fourth, fifth and go completely for the jugular. And then I thought, actually, I rule twoed it, and they have come off the back of a really stinking stint of games.
Yeah.
Extra times, unwanted replays, trips to Grimsby and back. I imagine there were some tired legs come 60, 70 minutes, and there wasn't a need to. There wasn't a need to. There wasn't even a need to go get the ball in the corner. We didn't involve in any of that. We just kind of carried on playing and just the game wore itself out, basically. So I did originally think I would have loved to have gone and got a third or fourth and really hammered them home. But it was
understandable.
Kind of understandable considering the run that we've been on. That run comes to an end with this Solihull. Now we'll have a full clean week before we play Yate Town. So
it feels
a little bit like we're through the worst of it, and we can get to a little bit of a lull.
Yeah.
Might be what some of those legs are feeling.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear the manager talking in his pre-match press conference today, and he was saying that about, I think he was asked a question with regards to the options that Solihull have, because they do have quite a few options in their side. And he said, all we can do is be what we are, because we haven't got the options to be anything else, which kind of what you've said there, isn't it? That, it was what it looked like and what it expected to be, but then you're relying on people like Knowles and Wakefield to go there and, as you said, be better than what's up in front of them. But I watched the Solihull Altrincham game that was on the telly whilst I was listening to the commentary, and they definitely, and I think Joel alluded to it earlier when we spoke to him, they definitely can be got at in wide positions, their fullbacks. I think they got carved apart by Altrincham, who were a good football inside a couple of times. I don't know if you saw the video. There was also an Altrincham fan who came on and slide tackled one of the Solihull players. A fan ran on the pitch and did it. So I tweeted that out earlier, and I said, warned Mr. Michael Cleverly that we'll have none of that behaviour this weekend. And yes, we are thinking of you, Michael.
Oh dear. No, I didn't see that, but yeah, that's... Are you there, Dave? Ever lost you?
I am. Sorry, I lost you for a second there. You went a little bit robot-y. So if anyone else heard that, I don't know who it was. Your screen went funny as well. So, but you're here now. I can see you. You're moving.
I am.
It's all right.
Yes,
we're here.
Apologies. Let's let's talk about Altrincham. We don't care about them. It's going to be an interesting game, isn't it? Because my final fifth conclusion was that we need something to back that up. When we did the Stockport victory, I really felt like we needed to hammer it home and prove that it wasn't a one-off. And with a game against Yate Town on the horizon, which for all the FA Cup romantics out there might not be the might not be glamorous for us to go and win that, but it's one we should be looking to win. Get a result against Solihull, beat Yate in the cup, and suddenly that doom and gloom of eight without a win becomes three in a row, second round the FA Cup, beating a good side. You know what I mean? You can feel how this podcast changes if the next two results go our way.
You mean you're going to wait until November is kind of just begun, and then you can tell us what you think the Green Day's difficult second album.
Remember, 5th of November.
That's it. Is that what we're going for, is it? Right, I'll write that down. 5th of November, that's when Ben's going to give us his verdict. Right, okay, I've got exactly. that. So, I think that's the day before the 8th game, though, so the 5th of November. But
7th of November.
Okay, remember the 7th of November. We'll rewrite that, rewrite history on that one. Okay. But you're absolutely right. And like I say, watching Solihull, they do seem like they can be got out, but they've got some very good players as well. But we can just go there and be who we are, as the manager said today. That's all we can do, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they've conceded more goals than us this season. They've conceded 16, 17, I think it is. Yeah. We're on 11, 12, something like that.
Yeah.
They've obviously just scored plenty more, and they have plenty more in the way of attacking options. We've already named a couple of players. Andrew Dallas, of course, a player that was, well, heavily rumoured to be very nearly ours, is with them and not exactly doing masses, if truth be told. So they've got options. If they've got players like Andrew Dallas who they can afford to have out of goal-scoring form, then they're in a pretty luxury position.
Yeah, Joel mentioned that he was more of a setup kind of man this season, as opposed to the goal scorer that they saw down at Weymouth, I think. But they've got a few, haven't they? I mean, is it Justin Donowa? He scored hat-trick against us last season at their place. So he scored again in the week as well. And I think I forgot how we pronounce his name. Joe Sabara. Yeah, he looked like. He looked like he's scoring a few as well. So yeah, as you say, they've got options. But it sounds like we've also learned today that we've got a few less options than we did that Woking game, because Ben Seymour and Jordan Dyer. So yeah, give us your verdict based on, what was it, 94 seconds of seeing Jordan Dyer, or however long it was on Tuesday night. Can't imagine that there's too much we can say about him, is there?
No, I can confirm he does have the ability to run in a straight line onto a pitch.
Okay.
And then relatively quickly afterwards, go back off of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for that contribution, Jordan. I mean,
the heat map is fairly easy.
Yeah.
It's on and off. Just that's all we know about him.
Do it in a straight line. But yeah. Ben Seymour was perhaps a little bit more of a surprise. I mean, ultimately, I suppose, it's Exeter's decision what they do. I think quite a few people would have said he was someone that certainly someone I would have liked to have seen. Don't think, in fact, I didn't ever see him play live. So did he play on Tuesday, Ben Seymour?
He got about 3 minutes. He got about a minute and a half more than Dyer.
Mm, okay. Yeah. And I mean, when you look at our loans, Lewis Simper, don't know why he was called Jordan, Lewis Simper has gone back to Cambridge, recalled by them as well. When you look at them, and obviously Dion Pereira, we've learned today, Thursday, that is, that he's went back to Luton. Nathan Jones isn't angry with us, which is good. Good that there's still a good relationship there. But Dion Pereira, quote, things happened, according to Nathan Jones, which Dion Pereira doesn't sound like was happy with and therefore didn't want to come back, which is fair enough. If he doesn't want to come back, he doesn't want to come back. But I mean, if you look at Simper, Dyer, Pereira, can't be a lot of minutes there. Seymour probably slightly more, but that's four of our, how many loans have we got? Seven, is it?
Well, it was seven. It's now just three, isn't it? So yeah, if you add up Simper, Dyer and Pereira, you're probably pushing just over 100 minutes between them.
Yeah, because Pereira played the whole game, didn't he, against Notts County, I think?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Dyer has 2 minutes and Simpa has 16, 17 or something like that.
Yeah.
Not including the Taunton Town preseason game. So, yeah, it feels like a lot of, well, potentially a lot of effort has gone into not a lot, really. Thankfully, it sounds like not a lot of money has gone into quite a lot, because it sounds like we've been beg, stealing and borrowing these players. So maybe we haven't lost out too much financially, and maybe it didn't matter almost that we had seven loanees because we weren't paying for them anyway. No. So, I'm with you. I think Seymour was the one that we saw enough out of that we wanted there to be a bit more. I think Dion Pereira probably has a decent future in the game at a level higher than this. But if you don't want to play for Yeovil, don't play for Yeovil. I don't really, I'm not bothered about that. If you don't want to be here, don't be here. And then we'll never know about Dyer. Dyer is one of those players that's going to go down in the annals of history alongside sort of the one game wonders, the Kelly Yugas, the Bakayokos, the Craig Calvers of this world. Those sort of
flash in the pan. He's in some history there. He's in a club. That is a club to be in. That is, yeah.
To be fair, I think Craig Calver got half a dozen games.
Did he?
If you're talking about one game wonders, you've got Kelly Yuga, you've got England's Sam Johnston. He was one game. Zumana Bakayoko.
Yeah.
One game. Any more? He's not quite Stuart Taylor, who played half a friendly.
Yeah.
That would have been, that is bad.
There you go. Well, if anyone could think of any more one game wonders, get in touch with us. Let us know your favourite one game wonders of Yeovil Town fame.
To be fair, we could do it ourselves. We have got the Glover's Cast player archive history that has been stolen from Cyberspace on the website.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, we'll stick a few one game wonders up and see if anybody can think of any more. I'm sure there'll be a few that aren't on there. But yeah, I mean, one other thing that we did learn is from the manager's press conference was that Ruben Reid sounds like he's progressing a little bit better. Marcus very kindly at the weekend pointed out that I have a chip on my shoulder about Ruben Reid. Ruben Reid of last season, definitely. Ruben Reid of this season, who knows? We haven't seen him, have we? So hopefully he'll come back. But the manager said that there was nobody better this level or the one above with his back to goal. So hopefully he can turn around and go towards the goal as well. Hopefully he can do that.
That is high praise. That is high praise. I thought Adi Youssef's back to goal stuff on Tuesday wasn't horrendous, actually. No. So yeah, there is something to be said for a decent striker who can play back to goal a little bit and be a bit more link up. And if you have got creative players around you, there's no harm in that. They have to add a little bit with goal scoring as well. And of course we want Ruben Reid to come back and add with goal scoring, because that's how we said we were going to judge him this season. So good that he's coming back. Good that he's going to bolster the ranks sooner rather than later. And come back and score some goals, mate, because we could do with a hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'll be very pleased if he does that. I'll eat this hat that I've been talking about eating for such a long time as well. But we've got some questions, and I think we're probably slowly going through answering some of these questions anyway. But do you want to do the questions or talk about Solihull?
Let's just, one thing I did want to mention that we haven't mentioned yet is that Morgan Williams has had a child this week.
Oh, he has. What is it? He had... What was he called?
Great name. Do you remember the name? Zealand.
Zealand, that's it. As in New Zealand, yeah?
As in New Zealand. I mean, that's a strong name.
It's a new child, so it is New Zealand,
isn't it? Yeah. It's a new child, yes. Yes, they often are.
It's not one that he just... No, it's not going there.
No, but definitely, yeah, that's a strong name. I was thinking earlier, Zealand... Zealand's a boss. Zealand's not mucking about. If you email a company and they're like, oh yeah, you need the CEO, that's Zealand at multibillionpoundcompany.org. Who punched a hole in the wall? Zealand again.
Yeah. You could see him in Silicon Valley, couldn't you, Zealand?
Yeah, exactly. Zealand, yeah. Badass name, that. I like it. So congratulations to Williams and to Morgan Williams and his partner. We did have some questions, and I've diverted, and I've lost them.
I've got them. Do you want me to ask the first one?
Yeah.
from your good friend from the terrace, Mr. Christopher Fox. I can't really say it because we haven't mentioned that Ian's not here, have we? People will probably guess by the fact that he hasn't been speaking. He's not been really quiet. He's just left Ben and I to at it, which is...
He's on yet another trust call.
I know, yeah. He is...
Those guys meet so often.
I know. Get a room, for God's sake. Oh, yeah, well, they've probably got a room. They've got our Zoom call. So I'm relying on this recording, actually recording. It says it's recording, but I don't know where it's recording. So anyway... but yeah, so Ian isn't here, so I will answer this one on his behalf from Mr. Fox. Will the other Glovers Cast team pay now for Ben Barrett's travel cost to come to every home game after seeing yet another victory? And then Jimmer comes in and says, "And mine, I'm yet to see us lose." I think Jimmer's only been to one game, am I right? Weymouth game.
Yeah, that was a draw.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, he did. And that was a draw. And he went to Altrincham as well, didn't he? And that was a draw. So he's right. He's yet to see him lose.
It's clever wording, though, isn't it? I've not even seen us concede a goal yet.
No, oh, there you go. So are we going to off the paving? No, he lives so bloody far away. Yeah. So unless Ian has won the lottery and can afford your fuel bill up and down the however many roads you said there before... then I'm afraid we're not, no. But we'll start a crowdfunder. That's what we do when we need money, isn't it? We'll start a crowdfunder, get Ben to, what's the next home game? Eastleigh? Is it Eastleigh in a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah.
So we're getting there. But you are at Solihull, so you got the press is on to get that one. So we have got another question, which you might, have you got them now? You got the questions up?
I do have, yes.
You want to read Adam Barrington's, because there's a lot in it.
Oh.
I'll probably get it wrong. And you have replied, "I bloody love a stat."
I do love a stat. I do love a stat. Adam Barrington, thoughts on current league stats? 11 league games played. Top half played 8, won 3, drawn 1, lost 4. Bottom half played just 3, won 1, drawn 1, lost 1, 4 clean sheets, 11 goals scored. Only 2 teams have scored less. 12 goals conceded. Only 3 teams have conceded less. Overall, not a bad start. I reckon, Adam Barrington, you're right. That ain't a bad start.
Who have we played in the bottom half that's beaten us?
Kingsland, no, opening day.
Stockport. Can't be Stockport, yeah.
Kingsland.
Right, okay, yeah. And that was when we were sent off, wasn't it?
And that was a bit of an anomaly game after the COVID break.
Yeah. So what are you saying? You're saying you're right. It's not overall not a bad start.
That's not bad. To beat 3 teams in the top half, that's pretty good. That is pretty good. We know where the problems are. It's that 11 goals scored, isn't it?
That is where the problem is, yeah.
If that 11 was 17, chances are some of those L's would be W's and D's.
Yeah.
And we'd probably be in a slightly better place. I mean, it's a very obvious statement to say, but if we'd scored more goals, we'd be higher up the table. But... that is pretty good. We have played a disproportionate number of top half teams, and we've got another one coming up. When do we start playing the Tosh? When have we got Weymouth again?
Is it over Christmas? Oh, is it towards Christmas time? I think we've got them at our place, and then it's Easter Monday, I think, down there again.
So it's I think it is worth taking that into consideration, and it's good to have a bit of context. It's what we try and do here on the Glovers Cast. So thanks for sharing those, Adam. And I agree with you. Adam is being more Barrett. That's what Adam is.
There you go. Right. I'll get Adam on then, if that's the way you feel. We'll have Adam on. If Adam can come on and do the quiz, how about that? We'll get Adam on to do the quiz and he can bring his positivity with him. There you go, Adam. The gauntlet is thrown down to you.
It is indeed. Oh, you are going to have to wait, though, because Jimmer is the official number one contender. So Jimmer's going to take it on next week against Rob, who has run away. He's champion 1 week and he's not here to defend it.
I know.
So when he's back to defend it, Jimmy gets first shot. Adam Barrington, if you want it, you get second shot. You get winner of Jimmy or Rob in the quiz.
Right, I've got it. I mean, say what you like about Clevo. He was always here on a Thursday night, wasn't he?
Well,
he was always here. You could rely on him.
You could, indeed.
Okay.
Next question.
So, next question. Well, we've asked the one, we kind of asked one of Dan Johnson's questions. With Seymour and Diagon, who would you like to see come in on loan?
So it was alluded to today that we aren't going to get anybody else in on loan unless somebody gives us a freebie. So unless Jimmy Smith has got a star at Chelsea who needs to be rattled by a few National League defenders and midfielders, we're not going to get anybody. And actually, I think I agreed with the manager's point of, do we need another 18-year-old kid who comes in, who needs time, who has to be bedded in, who has to get used to his teammates? Or do we see what happens with somebody a bit more experienced? Is there, I don't know, I haven't checked, I haven't had the time to check, is there a player in League Two who is 34 years old, who is on the bench, who is maybe going through their coaching badges, who hasn't played an awful lot, who is getting 10 minutes there, getting 15 minutes here, is struggling to get a go, and who's been told quietly by their manager that if someone comes in January, they're welcome to you? If there's that player available, and we are able to go to that club and go, look, you're going to let him go in January anyway, can we take him until then and potentially turn it into us that takes him in January? Maybe someone along those lines, but without physically going through trawls and trawls of team news for League One and Two, then I'm not overly fussed for it. What I would say is it might mean we get a little bit more Toby Stevens. If we're going to have random kid in from wherever who comes in and is going to take time like all the other loanings have done, well, do you know what? Why take time on benches, in squads, on pitches from Toby Stevens? Why not see if he's got a little bit more? Because the one area that I've highlighted is that our midfield looks a little bit lopsided, with an out-and-out left-sided player and no out-and-out right-sided player in there, even in the three. So for me, is there a way that Toby Stevens gets a few more minutes as part of a three? Or if Staunton comes out of the defence when Wilkinson's back, you have Staunton and Gorman, or Gorman and Worthington, and then you get 10, 15 minutes of Stevens, or you start getting other players involved. Ollie Haste maybe makes a few more benches. Maybe I don't know. Let's get Benjani in again. You know what I mean? Maybe go down that route until January, because in January there will be teams that have to roll the dice in League One and Two, that have to try and bring players in, and that suddenly bumps everyone down the list a little bit, and there will be players that drop off, who leave, who are suddenly available for loan that aren't here. We are at the end of October. So it sounds to me like we're just going to have to get through till January and see where the land lies and see what happens.
So we just call him Matey Boy then? Matey Boy. We'll have Matey Boy come in.
Yeah.
We don't know who he is. We'll just call him Matey Boy.
What's his name? Thingamajig.
Thingamajig. Yeah. That's what we'll start the chant on Saturday. Sign up, Thingamajig.
So right now, I don't think I'm not really fussed for immediate. We may need it in a couple of weeks once suspensions kick in. But right this very second, seems like a waste. Seems like a waste right now to stick a kid on the bench for nothing.
I tell you what I have back. Josh Neufeld. He's going to need to come back at some point, isn't he? His recovery is coming on well, according to people at Luton. I'm not sure whether he's back kicking balls or not yet, but hopefully by the turn of the year he might be. I mean, he came in January, didn't he, last year?
Yeah. So it'd be lovely
to have him back.
He's an obvious one. And again, you chuck Lawson Diaz in that conversation as well.
Of course, yeah, forgot. Yeah, keep thinking.
Yeah, if Lawson Diaz, we're hopeful that this Saturday against Solihull will have Wilkinson, we'll have Alex Bradley back. I feel like we've missed him a little bit. He's going to be a nice little addition to have in the squad, whether in defence or in midfield as part of a more maybe slightly rigid midfield three. Even Morgan Williams, obviously himself, after his little injury, comes back in and becomes available. There are sort of just the signs that maybe, just maybe, we're going to get a few more players back. So hopefully we'll see that.
Okay. So another question from Dan Johnson, because he's greedy and he keeps asking lots of questions.
You have as many as you want.
Are Dale Gorman's shots from distance funny, ridiculous, or just unhelpful, or all three? Hashtag shoot. Well, Marcus Duncombe will be glad that he didn't go in, because he was going to be buying tequila, wasn't he? But then Tyranna Tortoise, says he reminds me of Fulton from Mighty Ducks. 1 out of 5 shots hits the targets. Now, I don't know what Mighty Ducks is, but it looks like a film. And there is a GIF.
Whoa, hang on.
I don't know.
The Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
I've been to Anaheim. And I've heard of the Anaheim Ducks. But is this a film? Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Right, okay.
It's your classic American sports film. Team of misfits, rejects, goes on. And, well, I won't spoil it for you, but they all end the same way. Yeah. But very, very humorous, typical American sporty themed film. Highly recommend.
Okay, right. I'll put it on my to-watch list. Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Okay. So you watched Dale Gorman sell one over the bar, I think, didn't you? Funny, ridiculous, or just unhelpful?
All of the above. Okay. I didn't realise until watching the highlights, because I was behind the goal, just how far out that first one was. Yeah. So on the highlights, he pings one. It's not a million miles over the bar. It should be noted. It's not far away. But he is a long way out. If a 45-yarder goes in, he'll have earned his damn tequila.
Yeah.
Because it is a long, long way out. but I don't know. I'm happy that we're having shots because we aren't scoring enough goals. I think you have to judge them all on an individual basis almost. If he had other options, if it was just too far out, that 40-yarder, no, don't do it. I don't want to be seeing that. Keep the ball, keep the possession, maintain the pressure. But a ball dropping out of the air that's been half cleared from a corner, by all means, ping it. By all means, hit the thing. Of course, if one's there to be hit, hit the thing. So it's about drawing a line, I think, a little bit. And look, when he lands one, it's gonna win the glovey for goal of the season. I can already tell you that, because he's really hit some well. He does strike them really cleanly. Just not quite got his radar in just yet.
Yeah, well, I think Marcus is at Solihull at the weekend as a supporter. So, mate, do you think he should be bringing any tequila with him? Won't get it in the ground, will he?
No, I think he needs to know where his nearest off license is.
Yeah, not too many around Solihull, if I remember. It's a little bit out on a limb, that ground, but probably find one around there, couldn't he? But yeah. So we do have another question from Toppence, Ben Topman. This is a really serious one, as you can imagine. So would you plant onion sets tomorrow, or would you grow them from seed in the spring? Now, you do have a sensible answer for this, don't you?
I do have a sensible answer for this. I have two sensible answers for this. I will be growing from seed in the spring. Two reasons. Serious reason is that I am, well, hopefully, moving house very soon, and I don't want to leave onions for other people. So take my onions in seed form and try them in the spring. And secondly, we did have some onions in the ground this year, and they didn't do particularly well. No. So I'm going with the other plan this time, because my tomatoes, strawberries and chilies from seed all worked really well this year. So I'm going to do the onions next year.
I mean, I think it's true that some onion sets are suitable for planting in the later in the year, but I think autumn plant is not suitable for heavy soils prone to waterlogging, as a crop is likely to succumb to disease. I'm not reading from the Royal Horticultural Society website here, but you know, onions, as we all know, have a limited root system, so you know, providing soils with lots of organic matter before planted is probably invaluable, it's fair to say, isn't it?
I would agree wholeheartedly. Absolutely wholeheartedly. It's a complicated process growing onions. There are many layers to it.
Oh no, he's not even sorry about that one, folks. He's not even sorry. Right, so for all your onion planting advice and humor, this is the place to be. People, if they've just turned on at this point, will be wondering what the hell they've tuned into here, won't they?
Who starts a podcast at this point?
That's a good point.
Nobody.
Well, fast forward to right towards the very end, and
if they've made it this far, they deserve a medal. Yeah, to be fair. So
well,
yes.
Well, and I think that onion trivia is medal enough. So yeah, we haven't got Ian to stop us tonight, have we? So what else are we? What else are we going to talk about? Is there anything else we should be talking about, or should we wrap this one up?
I think we need to mention that me and you spent about 45 minutes or so going through the FA rule book this evening.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out whether or not Dale Gorman is banned. He's not.
No.
He has had 5 yellow cards, but four of them were in the league. One of them was in the cup, and they are all competition specific this season. So if he picks one up against Solihull, he would miss a game, but it wouldn't be the Yate Town game. He would miss the Eastleigh game.
The following league match. Yeah, I did check this in with our other oracle, Hewish Hugh, who told me that has been the case for quite some time in the with league and cup being separate. But I'll be honest, I didn't realise that until you looked it up. I mean, you gave me a bit of credit there. I didn't look up anything. You looked it up. You were the researcher, so good bit of research. So yes, he will be there, and maybe if Wilco? Doesn't sound like Wilco's going to come straight back in, even if he is there, does it?
No, I think I've got a hunch we're going to go with the same 11. Mm-hmm. I think we'll go with the same 11 and then have the extras on the bench. Replacing Seymour and Dyer will be Bradley and Wilkinson maybe, yeah. And go from there, basically. So I think we'll go with that same side.
Yeah.
Maybe Sonny Blue comes back in as well.
Yeah. So if Wilkinson doesn't, what is it, score the winner, break his nose, make a playing goal for the last 12 minutes and make an amazing save, I mean, he's failed really, isn't he? If he hasn't done that.
Absolutely has. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Yes.
So that's the minimum. That's the bar, Wilco. You've set it yourself. So that's what we're expecting from you.
It is. It's a strange one, Solihull, isn't it? Because Solihull was also the game that, if I remember correctly, Josh Staunton did his original injury in.
Was it?
I think so. Hang on. Right. I've said that without checking.
They spanked us. They beat us at their place, didn't they? 5-1 last season. They're behind closed, the lockdown years. And then we beat them 3-0, and that was a quickly hat-trick, if I remember rightly. Or was it Wilkinson went off at Solihull? I think Wilkinson went off at Solihull quite early.
No, because last season was the two games that you mentioned.
The 5-1 and the 3-0.
Yeah, and then before that, the season before was the 1-0, the 7 out of 7 Luke Wilkinson performance.
Yeah.
And then at Hewish Park in January was the 0-0 snooze fest.
Oh, okay. So when did Staunton do himself? Was it in any of those four fixtures?
No, maybe I've just made that up.
No. I want to say Eastleigh was the one where Staunton did his...
Possibly. Yeah. I thought that was the second injury.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, he wasn't playing for us in 2019-20, was he? So it must have been last season if he done himself.
And they were both in January. Yeah. And they were both late on, weren't they? They were both in. So I've just completely plucked that out of thin air.
Well, okay, there you go.
Good news. But yes, last season saw two hat-tricks within 3 days, didn't it? Because it was Danawa. It was Danawa that got the first hat-trick.
Yeah.
In the 5-1. And then Quigley backed it up with a hat trick. I think it was strange that we played them 3 days after one another anyway.
It was weird, wasn't it? And it was two completely contrasting performances as well. Let's hope it's more of the latter than it is of the former when we play there again.
And apparently we played them in the 2016.
Yeah, we played them in the FA Cup.
In the FA Cup.
We did. I remember that because I remember driving down to Solihull in the lashing rain in the good old Darren Way years. And I seem to remember Zoko scoring at their place and then we lost on penalties.
We did lose on penalties. Yeah. I'm just seeing if I can find who missed the... Do you know the two players that missed the penalties?
I can't remember the players who missed the penalties, no.
One left back, one striker / right winger who really shouldn't have been playing right wing.
No, go on. I've tried to forget that night, I think.
Ryan Dixon missed the first. Yeah. Kevin Dawson scored the second. Tom Eaves missed the third.
Oh, right.
Francois Zoko missed the fourth, but it didn't matter because they went and scored.
Yeah.
So that was a cup upset, wasn't it? They were
Southern League or something at the time, because I remember they played us at their place and I think we were 2-0 up in the first game and then they got it back to 2-2. They had a player called Jamie Osborne who had a really good game at our place and then he went to Grimsby because Marcus Bignett, who was the manager at the time, took over at Grimsby in between those games. So by the replay, he wasn't manager, but I think Osborne was still around and he took Asante as well, who was... who's now at Chesterfield, where he's injured, isn't he? But
yeah,
there you go.
Right. Brian Hedges and Otis Khan, and then two goals from Jack Byrne, who is now a striker at Telford, apparently.
There you go. Well, so that's all of our Solihull history to go with the onions as well. So we know our onions and we know our Solihull results as well.
Now, all we need is for somebody to put the ball in the onion bag a few times on Saturday. And we will be absolutely singing. It will be, It feels like another big one. And I just really hope we put in a performance that is worthy of something because it'd be great. Great to get a little streak of results going.
Absolutely. Right. And we'll be doing the, I remember Solihull season before last. That was one of the LA nights. And then 2 days later or 3 days later at Aldershot, we did it all again. So, yeah, there you go. So we finish on a positive note. That's you and me both being positive. Let's end it there.
Indeed, we shall. Thank you very much for your evening. Thanks for doing that interview with Joel.
No problem.
Let's do it again at the weekend and forevermore, probably.
Fingers crossed we'll have Ian back by then as well. Yeah, if he's not got another trust meeting. Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Speak soon. See you later.
Cheers.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.